Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who peeping the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Peace, what up, family? We back in the building. This is Cosmic Kev, a.k.a. Brother Kev.
And this is Rigel.
On tip, Abari Ghani and Assalamu Alaikum. It's Brother Montoya, a.k.a. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. We are back again. Second show of 2020. Hopefully to share some constructive dialogue with the family. We got a great show lined up today, or this evening, rather. And before we get started, though, y'all, how was y'all week? And do y'all have any announcements for the family?
Another wonderful week. I'm like Callie. Another one.
Another one.
Another nice one.
Well,
yeah, but yeah, no major announcements. No major announcements on my end. You know, I'm the plain one. We'll move on to Mufasa.
Ah, okay.
He got the spawn.
All right. Okay, let's get it. I'm Brother Mufasa. How was your week, my brother? And you got any announcements for us?
Yeah, y'all. Sister Wright is just being humble. She knows she international. She knows she just front. She ain't playing. She Miss International.
Mm-hmm.
But on the real, you know, no major announcements for me. I will say that coming up, let me show you that the date correct. January the 25th, here in St. Louis, at St. Louis, Missouri, at New Northside Conference Center, we're going to be having a banquet, a Savior's Day banquet, with one of the Minister Ishmael will be doing a presentation, be the keynote speaker at that banquet. So if anybody's interested, you can hook me up, look me up, and I'll get some banquet tickets to you.
All right. How they get in contact? You want to give out the email or your number? How you want to do
it?
Yeah. Get in touch.
Yeah, you could hit us up on any one of the social media sites, inbox, email, collectiveminds@yahoo.com.
All right, yes, indeed. No announcements for Cosmic Kev today. I kind of want to, you know, we can go ahead and dive into the show. I do want to give a shout-out to our brother Mufasa for bringing this, actually bringing this topic to my attention because, you know, I wasn't aware of what was going on in this particular prison in Mississippi. So we are talking about today just to go rewind a little bit. We are talking about should something be done about how prison inmates are being treated, you know, in regards to living conditions and safety and things like that. And in particular, we are talking about what's been going on in Parchman, Mississippi, right? Parchman, Mississippi, I think, is one of the, if not the largest prison in Mississippi, but one of the largest state prisons in Mississippi. And they've been having some issues this past week. And like I say, shout out to my brother Mufasa for bringing the attention to me on this topic, because this kind of started a week ago. So while, you know, everybody was kind of focused on the Iran thing and Trump killing Qasem Soleimani last week, which we had talked about, you know, a lot of the country was kind of focused on that. But we have some eternal issues that are going on right under our nose, right inside our country, you know, about how people are being mistreated and, you know, things are being inhumane. So, again, shout out to my brother for bringing that to my attention, because I had no idea. But as I've done some research, you know, it's just really been kind of eye-opening to me, you know, how things have been going. Even though I've known, you know, that a lot of the state prisons have been under these conditions, but just to hear the stories and kind of see the pictures, like I said, has been kind of eye-opening for me. So that's what we're talking about today, family. Collective Minds is not a spectator sport. We don't all got to think alike, but we all have to think. So hit us up. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. Okay. So before we get started, I do want to read this article real quick. This is from the blog MotherJones.com. Just want to give a shout out to the author, Samantha Michaels, just to give a backdrop of what we're going to be talking about today. The article is entitled "Stabbings, Fires, Flooded Cells, Mississippi's Prison System is Falling Apart. Five people died in 1 week. Now lawmakers are asking for a federal investigation." Okay, you know, I take it back. It says now a lawmaker is asking for a federal investigation. So just one, according to this article. The article goes on to say, Mississippi prisons are in crisis. On Tuesday, a congressman called for a federal investigation after at least five people incarcerated in the state were stabbed or beaten to death during a week at the start of the year. A county coroner overwhelmed with bodies said prison gangs are at war. After rioting, the corrections department began a statewide lockdown, but two inmates at Mississippi State Penitentiary at Parchman, the state's highest security lockup, escaped. They were later caught, and the lockdown has been lifted at some facilities. But the chaos is far from over. Videos and photos shot by inmates with contraband cell phones have leaked and spread across social media. They appear to reveal flooded floors, a fire, and walls stained with blood. "I can barely breathe," the mother of one incarcerated man at Parchman Prison told the Clarion Ledger. "My son is in danger and there's nothing I can do." The recent violence began on December 29th when Terrence Dobbins was killed in what the Corrections Department described vaguely as a major disturbance at South Mississippi Correctional Institution, and two other men there were injured. On New Year's Eve, the lockdown began, and the department's commissioner announced her resignation. During the first several days of the year, four more men were beaten or stabbed to death, including three at Parchman. For context, that's almost the same number of people killed at Parchman during the 8 years prior. Things are kind of surreal at this point, coroner Heather Barton told the Clarion Ledger of the recent deaths. "Every time the phone rings at this point, it's another one." I'm going to go down and skip through the article real quick. Okay. How did things come to this? These killings didn't spring out of nowhere. One of the main problems is severe understaffing. The number of correctional officers in Mississippi has plummeted in recent years. That's partly because, compared with other states, Mississippi pays one of the lowest salaries. At state-run prisons, entry-level correctional officers start at about $24,900 a year. Representative Thompson points out, which falls below the federal poverty line for a family of four. The low pay combined with the stressful environment has led to high turnover, forcing inexperienced guards to work nearly constant overtime. At the end of 2019, Mississippi State runs prisons had just 732 correctional officers, fewer than half the number from 5 years ago, according to the Clarion Ledger. At each state-run prison, the ratio of staffers to prisons is worse than in Alabama, where federal investigators recently said understaffing has led to cruel and unusual punishment. Okay, that was just a backdrop of what's going on. They kind of contributed to the staff, you know, lack of staff, lack of pay for the correctional officers and things like that. But basically, just to sum up that article, you know, five people in Mississippi State prisons have been killed. You know, they kind of contributed to gang riots or gang violence. They had a lockdown. A lot of pictures came out about the conditions in the prisons, which consist of, you know, brown running water. You got six people sleeping or living in basically two-man cells, like packed up like sardines. The bathroom conditions are horrible. Blood on the walls. You got just the entire environment is really looks unsafe and inhumane. So we're here to talk about that. And just hot off the press, Yo Gotti, along with Roc Nation, has issued a warning to Mississippi state prisons that they may sue based on the inhumane conditions of the inmates. Now, Yo Gotti is a rapper from Memphis, and anybody familiar with Memphis know Memphis is right, you know, next to Mississippi, so there's a very close relationship between Memphis, Tennessee, and Mississippi. So Yo Gotti has taken upon himself to issue a warning, well, him and Roc Nation to issue a warning to the state of Mississippi about the prison conditions that they have in that state. So, you know, this is getting a lot of press, thankfully, and a lot of people are talking about it. So I'm glad, again, to our brother Mufasa that he put us up on this and we can have this conversation to kind of inform the family. Okay. Now, with that being said, we'll get right into it. Again, give us a call, 929-477-1697. We just talk about, you know, prison conditions in general. Do you think something should be done about how, you know, inmates and prisons are being treated? Or do you just think, you know, hey, they did the crime, so they should do the time. It shouldn't be, you know, it shouldn't be all peaches and cream in there because they did the crime. How do you stand on that particular issue? Give us a call. Let us know. This is Collective Minds. All right. Now, we're going to start with our sister, Queen Rigel. Based on what you just heard about the prisons in Mississippi and just overall what you know about the, you know, the prison system in America, do you feel like something should be done about the way inmates are being treated, you know, in regards to the living conditions and or, you know, the safety?
Yes, absolutely. And to be quite honest, I'm very surprised that this haven't come up, like, so long ago. I'm surprised that now, 2020, we having this discussion, which I'm sure here and there some sprinkles have come up. But I've always wondered how and why people who have and own prisons can get away with the behavior that takes place. Now, I can't say I've ever been to prison, but what my perception of prison is I know I get that from a lot of TV, other people that have been to jail, a lot of, you know, firsthand stuff, but the things that I hear and the things that I perceive it to be, it's like a very scary place. I don't know how anybody could even want to be there and just could be comfortable being there. I'm always concerned that if you're going to jail, you're going to be in a fight, someone's going to beat you up, someone's going to take your food, you know, you're going to get raped, or just all kind of horrible stories. And just even with that, that has nothing to do with the living conditions, but just even with the behavior that you're subjected to when you go to prison, I always wondered why was nothing ever done about that. You know, for many years now, and I just chalked it up to thinking that people just don't care because these are prisoners. But then you have to wonder why, what about the prisoners that's innocent, you know? Or what about just the ones that just honestly made a mistake? And, you know, now if you're dealing with a person that has a personality where they don't care, or basically they're the bullies, then I think you probably can deal with them a little more harshly, but separate it, you know, put them somewhere and deal. Because some things, you know, in all honesty, do require maybe a little more, you know, harsher penalties. Some people, just it takes a little bit longer, or it's you know, they may not understand as quickly as someone else. Someone else may not take heed, so you may have to do a little more, you know, harsher things, or just make the, you know, be a little more stern with your teaching with someone versus another type of person. I think those are the, I think that's a small group of people. I think the majority of people, you don't, it doesn't take all of that. It doesn't take such sternness and such harshness. So I always wonder why this talk should have been happening, as far as I'm concerned, because prison is just, and they, I guess you don't want prison to be pleasant, like where nobody cares to go either. But I think the bad thing about prison is that you're losing contact with your family and friends, you know, because you have to maybe do some time for some crime. But that should be about the extent of it. You know, it shouldn't be, okay, not only do you have to be punished and you have to separate yourself from the outside society and your family and friends, now on top of that, you got to fight for your life. You know, that's just ridiculous. And I think something should have been done about it. You know, I wonder, like, do they not have inspectors that come and inspect the jails and all that? It's just, this is, you know, a horrible thing to me. And like I said, I think this topic should have been done many years ago, because as far as I could always remember, I always known of prisons to be very inhumane and just very violent, a violent environment. Now, I can be wrong, because like I said, I've never been. I know I'm not that wrong. So if somebody choose to call in and, you know, edify a little bit more and apply a little bit of correction, you're more than welcome. And I'm sure somebody could, but I know I'm not that far off either. And I can leave it there for now.
Yes, indeed. This is Brother Kev. I'm here with Queen Raiju and Brother Mufasa. We are talking about should something be done about prison conditions. In particular, we are talking about the situation that's going on in the state penitentiaries in Mississippi, particularly Parchman State Penitentiary, where some things have come to light about, you know, how the inmates have been treated. So we will get into our Brother Mufasa Ra. He was the one who actually, you know, brought this story to us. So, I mean, what do you think about, you know, how inmates are treated, and in particular, you know, the situation that's going on with the brothers and sisters in the Mississippi State prisons?
Yes, sir. Well, just before I answer the question, I do want to say that and I think Roger had touched into some of this a little bit also. But we humans, when you're dealing with humans, and you know that you have criminals that have committed these crimes, and, you know, maybe even some heinous crimes, and that's kind of has made them a beast, you know, an animal. But when these people are in custody, you would expect the people housing them to show some type of, not basically not become the beast themselves. if you a evil beast-like person and you over some people who've done these deeds and you start making them become or putting them in the situations where they become even more savage, like, what do you expect is going to happen? So it's sad, like you said, that this has been going on for so long, but I'm looking at the people who are supposed to be watching these folks, and I'm like, man, what is this? How do you look at yourself, and what makes you any different than the inmates that you're watching over to allow people to have to live in those type of conditions? I mean, come on now. We're talking about mold on the walls, you know, paint that was peeling off of different off of the cells, no running water, electrical. They say the electrical wires exposed. If you put in people that's already having issues and in a condition like that, what do you expect is going to happen? To me, it's like you antagonizing people to act out even more. That's how I look at it. So what's really going on? You know, is this was this on purpose? Was this intentional? But to go back to the question, something definitely needs to be done about it, because, like I said, at the end of the day, these are still people. They may have committed a crime, and then, like Roger said, some are innocent as well. But these are people. You cannot, you know, house people and treat people like animals. And they already have done some, you know, some animalistic type things. You can't have them in a condition like that and not expect them to clown. So, you know, somebody has really dropped the ball on this, and it's not just that prison in Mississippi, but it's prisons across the country that these things take place in, and they don't get out to the mainstream. You know, it's like it's hushed over. I had a friend that was murdered in prison. I've heard about several other assaults that have happened in prisons. But, you know, it's like, you know, it's sad. It's kind of, it bothers me. It's kind of sad that, you know, people would do each other like that. I know I got loved ones that's in prison. I got a family that's still incarcerated now. So seeing those pictures and just seeing how, or imagining how they are stuck somewhere, you know, stuck and disconnected from the world and can't get it out what's going on with them, man, it's just a horrible thing. And I want to give a shout out or say thank you to, which probably people would say I shouldn't be saying this, but I want to thank whoever was able to sneak those inmates those cell phones so they could record the type of conditions that they were living in. Because
they said it was one of them inmates' family members, one of his cousins or something that worked there and was able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Without those images, I mean, this has really forced people to do something, to speak out. And shout out to what Jay-Z and John got, not John Gotti, but what's his name?
Yo Gotti. Yo Gotti, yeah.
What's his name? Oh, you showing your age.
Right. What's the young fella name? What's the young fella name?
You know the little one boy.
The big head. The big head.
Right.
Yeah, shout out to them for bringing awareness, because we need people of their stature to get involved, you know, and influence others to get involved. I'm not 100% sure if this is the case, but I did hear that over the past, I guess, 2 days, that they were moving the inmates out of that. I'm not confirmed on that, on the one prison in Portsmouth, but hopefully that's the case. But, yeah, we just need to continue to spread awareness with this, and if you have loved ones that are incarcerated, man, reach out to your... See, I know sometimes, you know, we get to where we don't want to accept that phone call from my people that's locked up. But, you know, sometimes we may need to take that call. You know, you don't feel like anybody take that call so your loved one can tell you what's going on, you know, what's happening to them, how they're being treated. So I fall back right there after that.
All right, yes indeed, family. If you're just joining us, I'm Cosmic Kev. That was just our brother Mufasa Ra, and we got Queen Rigel. We are talking about something to be done about the treatment of prison inmates, especially in regards to the recent story that's been coming out of Parkland, Mississippi. It's been, you know, like five inmates that came up dead. They released pictures of the prison conditions. I'm talking about brown water coming out the faucet, flooding. When you see the flooding, it's like feces and urine in the flooding, all type of trash. We talking about people piled into two-man cells. You know, bathroom conditions are horrible. No flushing or running water. The lights out, no power. So we talking about some very inhumane conditions that these people are going through. And we're going to get to the call lines here in 1 second. Just bear with us, family. Now, like I say, these people are living in horrible conditions. And me, myself, you know, I don't take the position, well, you know, these people did violent crimes and, you know, jail shouldn't be, you know, a piece of cake and it is whatever should happen to them. I don't take that position for a couple reasons. Number one, everybody that's in prison didn't necessarily do the crime. That's number one. Number two, a lot of people are in prison for nonviolent crimes. You got people who are in prison for selling drugs, which is a nonviolent offense, right? And as we look across the country, marijuana is legal. You know, that's a $1 billion industry in Colorado, California, you know, now Missouri, Oregon, you know, and you have people in prison for selling marijuana. Another reason that I don't take that position that, well, these are just prisons and they should, you know, we shouldn't care about the conditions is because you got to understand where the modern day prison industrial complex came from. This was all by design. So when Rigel asked, you know, something should have been done, well, no, this is by design. This is how they want it. They wanted to go from slavery to funneling people in prisons. That was the whole plan. When you talk about, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation and the ending of slavery, we're talking about 4 to 5 million black people being let free, right? So just imagine that, 4 to 5 million black people, that's a lot of people. So the powers that be are like, okay, what do we do with these people, right? What are we going to do with these people? So the plan was to funnel those people right into the prison system, and it worked. They did that through Reconstruction. They did that through Jim Crow. You know, you had all type of vagrancy laws. You had, you know, laws where you couldn't look somebody in the eye. A white person could just say you did something to them and you would be thrown right back in jail. You had sharecropping where you could pay off your debt through sharecropping, but if you couldn't pay off your debt, then you was thrown in prison, right? You got debtor's prison. You got convict leasing. Now, convict leasing, you know, if y'all not familiar with convict leasing was a system of penal labor practiced in southern United States and overwhelmingly targeted African-American men. Convict leasing provided prison labor to private parties such as plantation owners and corporations. The state of Louisiana leased out convicts as early as 1844, but the system expanded all throughout the South with the emancipation of slaves at the end of the Civil War. So basically, private parties, plantations, owners, and corporations could lease convicts to work for them, right, and pay them pennies on a dollar or pay them really nothing to do jobs or do services for these particular plantations or corporations. So, you know, you had prisoners working on railroads back in the day. You had prisoners picking cotton. you had prisoners working on fields and, you know, all these different type of things, coal companies, iron, whatever. But that was the whole plan, was to take this slave population and funnel them right into the prisons, okay? And then you create conditions, and sometimes, like I say, this stuff can be generational. You know, if you got somebody who couldn't pay off a debt or was, you know, went from the plantation to the sharecropping to the prison field or prison labor, you know, that could be generational. He has a kid, you know, he's in and out of prison. Then the kid grows up, then he's in and out of prison. Then that cycle just continues. So this was all part of the plan. By the conditions being inhumane, they don't really care about how these people are being treated, because let's be honest, prison does not, and I repeat, prison does not rehabilitate people, nor does it deter people from doing crime. So what is the point of our prison system, right? It doesn't rehabilitate people, and it doesn't really deter people from doing or committing crimes. That's just what the numbers say. So the whole system needs a reset button. You know what I'm saying? You know, the point of the prison system, like I said, I believe is just to make money and create this racial caste system, because we know that a lot of the prison, the majority of the prison population, or disproportionate number of the prison population, is black people. And according to the Marshall Project, more than 60% of the people in prison in Mississippi are black, right? So the point is of the prison system is to make money and keep this racial caste system going by way of criminalizing a segment of the population, which is black people, and just funneling them through the system into perpetuity or forever. You know, they want to keep this system going forever just like it is. And it takes people like us having that conversation, you know, Yo Gotti, Rock Nation, independent journalism, to bring awareness to these things so some type of change and things can be done about, you know, about the conditions. And also another point real quick, and we're going to get to the call lines. They talked about how the correctional officers are underpaid. And we saw this firsthand even with the Epstein thing, because they were saying they were forced to work overtime and they were tired and they kind of fell asleep. And, you know, he was able to be killed or whatever, you know, or suicide is the official report. But that's the same thing that was going on in the prisons in Mississippi, where these correctional officers are getting low wages and they're being able to be bought out even by prisoners or by prisoner family members by allowing them to bring contraband in, you know, which could be hazardous to not only the inmates but the staff. Now, in this case, you know, our brother Mufasa mentioned them bringing the cell phone in or contraband in to get the pictures to release. But a lot of times they're bringing in a lot of other things. We know, at least from what I've heard of people being in prison, it's just like the streets. You can get whatever type of drug you want. You can basically get anything you want in prison that you would get on the streets, from drugs. You know, you can make weapons. You can, you know, any type of things. You can pay guards off to have them look the other way while you beating up somebody, or, you know, we know about the rape culture in prison, just a lot of things that are going on with the system that if we know about this stuff, you best believe the warden and the people who run the prison know about the stuff. So I don't really like to come down on the correctional officers themselves or even the inmates. I like to get to the higher-ups. Let's talk about the state who run these prisons. Let's talk about the warden. Let's talk about the corporations who lease these, you know, prisons out for them to do their work, and they pay them, you know, 5 cents a month type stuff. You know what I'm saying? But again, it takes us having these conversations I digress for now because I want to get to the call lines and see what the family think. But yeah, you know, that's where we at with it. This is all by design, and they want to keep this going on as long as they can until somebody blows the whistle, you know, and something's done about it. So give us a call, family. We're going to get to the call lines. The number's 929-477-1697. Let's go.
All right, good job there, my brother.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, area code 314-361. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment?
I have a lot. Am I on? Hello?
Yeah, you're on. We hear you. Thanks, Tom.
Yes, sir. Okay. All right. All right, I'm here. The topic being discussed is so deep. It's really nowhere I can say really where to start. But I'm going to say this. That is good that the video got out and showing what's going on to those inmates. And that is inhuman. We live in the United States. We got guidelines on how they're supposed to get treated. Not that they going to a fun land. It is prison. They've been sentenced
right.
to do their time, and then they get released.
That's right.
But what gets me is right here, even in the St. Louis area, you can go downtown and the jails are, even the jails, some of them are just as bad with sewage bag up, poor
That's
housing,
right.
people sleeping on the floor. That is nothing
mm-hmm.
new. It's just that it's just got exposed. It's the same
That's right.
scenario as Rodney King, when we saw him get beat down by the police officers, that had
mm-hmm.
big going on. It's many of people got beaten and abused by the police officers, but it's just that that happened to get caught on video. And when
That's
something
right.
is caught on video, it's exposed. And now we know it's so much has came out of that. It hasn't improved. There's still scenarios going on, but we learning how to just realize the power of the videos and also prosecuting people who are guilty of crimes. But back to Mississippi. Prison is a multi-billion dollar business, first of all. Money
That's right.
from taxpayers all over the United States pays to keep an inmate within a facility or contained. Big money is paid. Per each day a person is in prison, they get a payment for them. But what is happening that's going to be exposed, thanks to the FBI going to open up the door on that, is showing where is this money going? Why are the people underpaid? Why are they understaffed? Who is getting it? It's going to open up to where it's going to probably be tapping into the governors. They're funneling money in other areas like they do to school.
Right.
We pay so much taxes for schools, but we see a decrease in the schools. But it's going to take a federal investigation. Definitely, I motion that. Go and see what is going on and follow the money trail. If they're not
right.
getting the money, get it. We don't have. They shouldn't be put in a position like that. You got to transfer them to another facility, or you're going to have to start letting them prisoners go to loose. But they are to do their time. And like you said, it's innocent people in there as well. We don't know what the scenario situation is. You got five different levels of people that go into a prison. You got 1, 2, 3, up to five. Five is when somebody has committed a bad murder, a heinous crime. You have that
mm-hmm.
down to your one, where it just may be a person in there for child support. You understand
right.
what I'm
exactly.
saying? And
exactly.
it might not even be this child. It's it go from 1 to 5, but still
mm-hmm.
they put you in there. But it's sad what
mm-hmm.
they're going through, and I'm glad you guys are making it aware through this radio station. But not only that, just they're wrote off, and they still have a voice. You know what I'm saying? Because you can appeal a case.
Right.
It's,
mm-hmm.
they're just humans. You know, we're not. That's why they
right.
tell you to You don't take the law in your own hand. What they say, you judge by 12, you know, then be carried by 6. Now it's just opening up another door to where this got to be investigated. We sentence them to do their time, not to execute them. Right now,
exactly.
Under the mold and what you said, the mold, the water, that's an execution.
Mm-hmm.
We killing them people.
Right.
You know, you can't live like that. That's executing them people. So thanks for making it a word. I'm definitely going to tune into this and be listening more on what's the results and what's going to happen with this situation, especially I hope the FBI step in on this. Thank you.
Yes,
hey,
indeed.
Do you mind
yes.
telling us your name,
right,
bro?
I'm Mr. Hill.
All right.
Felix
Hill. Pleasure to meet you, brother.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir.
Indeed.
Yes,
we
sir.
Appreciate it.
Yo, thank you.
Yes, indeed. Right. Appreciate it. That was a great call. Yeah, great comment from the caller. Definitely made some good points. Yeah, so let's keep rolling. Let's hit up these call lines, see what the family talking about. But, yeah, that was a good call there.
Okay, area code 333-965. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment? Or are you just listening? Okay, maybe they're just listening. Area code 336. Okay, let's move on.
All right.
Area code 315-767. Calling on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hey, Collective Minds. How y'all doing tonight?
Hey,
Yeah, so, this brother's in. I was talking with my cousin Mustafa earlier. And, I have my baby brother just got out of prison, middle of last year. He's been in the system for near 21 years, and he's 37 years old. All nonviolent crimes, nonviolent drug related crimes. I was in the military that whole time. I did 20 years, armed forces, combat veteran, out there bringing death to the enemy. But after hearing his stories, now that I've been reconnected with him, I fear that him being locked behind those bars by our own government, he has seen more violence and more atrocity than I have. And most of it is not within his own control. It's totally out of his control. It's just walking down the hall, going to the mess, going to eat their dinner. And someone ends up dead, right there in front of him. And any time, it could just be him. You know, you never know. You're living in there. Any time, somebody could just have a beef with you or just need to prove something to somebody else, and you just happen to be the mark just because you just happen to be standing right in close range so he could prove himself to somebody else, and now you're dead.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
and then,
that's
and
what
then
he this
lived
is,
with
oh,
for
years
for
nonviolent crimes.
The system itself did nothing from listening to his stories right now. It's done nothing to help him improve his situation to where he'd be prepared when he got out.
That's right, exactly.
But fortunately, that's while he was in there, he was taken under the wing by some other mature, rational individuals, and he learned how to, you know, the Moorish Science Temple stuff and Black Panther movement. And it's the only reason he says he's been able to stay out, is because the system is not designed for, once you've been in for so long, for you to be able to, you know, what do you want to say? When you get back into the groove of something that,
rehabilitate yourself.
Reintegrate. Yeah, reintegrate. That's the word.
Reintegrate.
It's not designed for him to be able to reintegrate after being locked behind bars for so many years. You know, he's there for years. Now, the only reason that he's out right now, because he had another 5 years to do, was because of that First Step Act by Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They just came to his cell, opened his door, and said, "You're out of here." He had no knowledge that he was getting out that day. He didn't. He thought he still had 5 years to do.
Oh,
and,
wow.
They didn't set him up for anything. They just said they walked to his cell. He said they walked to my cell. And at that time, he was in a solitary confinement. They opened his door and said he's out. And he said,
wow.
Oh, he's out of solitary confinement? No, they said, no, you're out of prison. You're out of here. And they went and they processed him out within 12 hours. He's out on the street. With what? He didn't even get.
Right, with
they
what?
Couldn't even contact his emergency contacts. They didn't even have good phone numbers.
Right. What do you do in that case? They just let you out and you got to just go
to the
nearest family member? Huh?
Yeah. They put him on a bus to his probation officer. They put him on probation. But now the new year come around, he had a probation violation because he had to leave town to go do something with the Moore Science Temple because he's the Grand Sheik and he had to go do a presentation in another area and his PO guy was giving him the runaround, so he just went and did it anyway. So now he's got to go to jail every weekend in the month of January. So when he gets off work on Friday, he has to go report to the county jail. And he said, and he told me about his experience over the week because he just got out from the last weekend. And he said they tortured him the whole time. But because of his position as, you know, a Grand Sheik at the Morris Science Temple and his position in the Black Panthers, they was able to put together a press conference in this town. And they discussed the deplorable jail procedures and conditions. And how they treat the people
right.
in there. And now they're doing an investigation in Des Moines, Iowa on
That's
how
right.
they are handling and mistreating the people in the jails.
That's
and
right.
I think it all starts at the very beginning. I think all of this is overreach. Yeah, you did something wrong. Or someone says you did something wrong, and then the police believe they have enough evidence against you that states that it's a fairly good chance that you are actually, you know, the person who committed this crime or this crime was actually committed. So then they can come and arrest. They can come and kidnap you at gunpoint and throw you in a cage after they dehumanize you and strip you of your clothes and stick their finger up your butt and, you know, all that stuff
right.
that they do to you. He says in processing is the worst part. He says if he could just go to jail for a week and get it done, he'd be much happier than having to go in and get processed four times this month. He says that's where the real indignity comes in, having to go to jail. The in-processing part.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Because they dehumanize you. They take away your humanity. They shackle you up and make you naked, and they have you do all these things, chain the men naked, and they abuse you. They said that at one point, he said they had him in a room for 7 hours for no reason, and then seven guards came in, and they were trying to provoke him into catching a beatdown. He said they were just doing everything they could to try to make him fight them. So they could beat him. So they could beat him down. So they could abuse him. They could legally abuse him. But so long, I guess he said a psychiatrist stepped in and told him to back off, and then got him to where he was supposed to go. But the system is designed for like you said earlier, Kev, that they have monsters in control of the system that's supposed to hide our monsters from society.
Right, exactly.
And these monsters get to be monsters and make the monsters worse. And sometimes they're not even monsters. They just got caught up in happenstance and they're in prison now. And then they come out of prison tatted up as white supremacists and all kind of stuff. And they didn't go
in. They went in. They went exactly. They come out worse than when they went in.
He just happens to be a white guy that was a computer hacker, and in order not to get shivved or get raped in prison, he has to get all these crazy-ass Nazi tattoos put all over his body. And what does that do for your social life when you get out of prison? Nothing. You can't do anything after that. It's ruined you. That's not rehabilitation. That's like you said, perpetuity. Prison,
perpetuity. That's the word I was looking for. Right, perpetuity, Exactly.
So, yes, our system really needs a good reform. And it's terrible that our nation has something like this set up. Even though, like you said, it's by design, you're right. It's a system set up to where they do it all these extra people, and they want their slave labor. Even if they say that they wanted to free the slaves, they still want slave labor. North, south, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Corporations want service at the least
cheap labor,
the cheapest that they can get it. so they can have the highest profit margin.
That's right.
Don't care about the atrocities or the dignities of humanity, because that's not in the best interest of their stakeholders, their shareholders. Their shareholders want profits, and they don't care about where the profits come from, as long as it makes a profit. And that's what our nation is set up on. Our nation is set up on profit and debt. Profit and debt.
Yep.
And that
that's it.
Ties right down into the prison. They got to keep they got to keep people flowing in.
Yes. Yes.
Unfortunately for me, I've never been there. I almost got caught up once. I almost got caught up once by a person that I thought loved me, and I'm going to make sure that it never happens again. That, you know, someone that says they love you could put, try to put you in that situation that doesn't make any sense at all. And that's the lowest of the low, to try to take away someone's humanity that way.
See, that's one.
Try to get somebody locked up for no reason. And they don't understand. They don't understand what happens if you get locked up.
Yeah. You go turn
you can watch all those TV shows you want. But you listen to some of my brother's stories, I've done some stuff in the military that will make the blood drain from you. But he had to live that almost on a daily.
Mm-hmm.
I just did it for a mission, you know. I had a mission, you know, once or twice a month. And I was in control of it for the most part. Most of his situations, he had no control. He was just breezing through, hoping that it wasn't him. The next shanking wasn't him.
Yeah, man.
Yes.
It's crazy.
That's no way to live.
Indeed.
That's
crazy.
No way to live.
No way. It's horrible.
But yeah, unless you have any questions for me, I'll let you get on to the next caller.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate you, caller. Another great
no
call.
Problem. Thanks
for listening. I just want to, yes, indeed. Want to shout out the family that's been calling in. Great calls, great information. I really appreciate it. The caller really just dropped some information because he actually has some firsthand information from somebody who just went through the system. And I think if we were really, you know, able to be honest and put, you know, the United States prison system in front of the world, like, these are really crimes against humanity, right? Number one, we have the largest prison population in the world, you know, of a free country. In the world, we have the largest prison population. We imprison more people than, you know, it's just ridiculous. Number two, the way they're treated when they go in, like, as far as, like, the processing that the caller talked about, they have this thing called penal coercion. That means when you go through the system, they're really coercing you into being an animal. They're turning you into an animal, and it starts with breaking your humanity down, like the caller said, doing processing, strip you naked, you know, open up your butt cheeks. They're sticking fingers up your butt. That same finger, they may stick down your throat to see what you got in your mouth. Just
okay,
all type of
Brother Kim.
Crazy. I'm just saying, just all type of crazy stuff that's inhumane to kind of break your spirit. And then you got to go through that. Then you gotta on a daily basis, you know, fight for your life. So by the time you come out, what are you going, like, what type of mental are you going to have when you come out to the free world to try to, you know, reintegrate back into society? You dig what I'm saying? And you got the COs and they can be conspiring against you and doing all type of things. So the whole culture and system is designed to make you an animal, to make you a beast. So when you get back on the street, you know, your chances are you either go back in, but what a lot of people do, like the caller said, is you join a group. You join a gang, or you may join a religious organization.
Yeah, the state
and, exactly.
Survive.
So you're joining this for security. And one other thing, just in our community, I'm going to say this real quick, this last point. In our community, we have three institutions that, you know, I would say 90 to 95% of our young men are going to go to, right? Three institutions. The first institution is, if you're lucky, you may go to college, right? Okay. If not college, then you may join the military, which is another institution. There's only one institution left after that, and that's prison.
Yeah.
Right. You feel what I'm saying? So these are really your three choices, and when you coming from a poverty type of situation, you know, those are your three choices. And if you can't get to college, you either go do the military or you may end up in prison somewhere. So, you know, the opportunities and chances are kind of limited when you come from an environment where, you know, there's lack of opportunity and lack of resources. You know, so I just wanted to put that out there. Those three major institutions are what's funneling our kids. And you know, for the most part, if you're poor and you can't run a football or dunk a basketball, you know, college may not be an option for you. You dig what I'm saying? But I digress. Y'all can respond, and then we can hit the call lines. We're talking about, you know, how inmates are being treated in our prisons, particularly in Parchman, Mississippi. They had an incident going on, and a lot of things were brought to light as far as the conditions. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. Did y'all want to respond?
Mm-hmm. I was just going to add one small thing to some people may say, you know, may not be familiar with the what's going on in these prisons that we're talking about tonight. You know, the reality is that there are different levels, and prisons are ran by different people, different corporations, whatever you want to call it. And some, you know, are ran better. But, you know, and these type of things don't go on. Some people know how to run their prisons correctly. But don't let that fool you in thinking that they're all like that. So we want to shed light on the places that are not being ran correctly. And there are a lot of them out there. And these stories haven't been getting out. So I'm glad, like I said, that we're having this discussion and them brothers down in Parchman was able to get their videos and pictures out to the public to make people aware of what's going on in these other places.
So you're saying it's certain prisons that you're not going to be able to get jumped and raped and all this stuff? You're saying there's some prisons that's just not going down?
Believe it or not, there are places that really believe in taking care of their inmates. You know, they have programs set up, they have ways that inmates can speak out on what's going on. They make sure that the inmates have clean water, they make sure they give them proper meals. They make sure that the lights, you know, the lights are on and they have heat, they have cool. There are places that do, you know, basically do their jobs, because that's what they're supposed to do.
Okay.
You know,
right.
So the more that keeps all that other stuff down. When they're doing their job and treating people as humans, yeah, that keeps a certain element down. But when you throw them, when you do them to them, like what's going on in person, I mean, you just bringing the worst out of people that are already going through traumas. Like we said earlier, you just bringing the even worse, the worst out in them.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
Yes,
well, I think
that
everybody should
Mufasa,
care about that.
Right. Right. That was our brother Mufasa Rob, Cosmic Kev. We got Rigel, Queen Rigel on the line. We are Collective Minds. You know, we're talking about the prison system and how prisoners are treated. You know, is it about rehabilitation or is it about just making, you know, more animals and more beasts and then throwing them back out into society? Let's hit the call line.
Okay. Area code 314-616. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or do you have a comment? Make it plain, caller.
Peace. How's everybody doing?
Hey.
Peace.
Caller,
we good,
caller.
First and foremost, I want to just give honor and praise to the ancestor, Dr. Khalid Muhammad. Today's his birthday. I didn't even catch the topic of the show. What's the topic of the show?
Yes, sir. But I say the brother Khalid from his way.
Yes, indeed. I say the brother Khalid. We talking about the basically how inmates are being treated. And this story kind of jumped off because there was a situation in Parchment, Mississippi, where, five inmates came up dead in 1 week. And there were some photos and videos released of the prison conditions. And a lot of investigations and a lot of light has been shed on how they've been treated. They don't have no running water, lights being out, gang fights. Overcrowded cells, all type of things that's been going on. So a lot of people are, looking at how prisoners are being treated within this system. And we know, that prison system is the new Jim Crow, is the new slavery. So we're just kind of talking about that and kind of going in. So, you can give us a comment or a question. What you got?
Just the brief part that I heard, it seems like you guys have been covering a lot of information. That I know of, like New Orleans down south, they have like the worst prison system in the world. No adequate water, like you said. I even think back, what was it, like 2 years ago when we had the situation here at the workhouse. And that's a medium level security center where they had no need. We were in the hundreds, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, we know this thing is big business, and, like one of you guys mentioned earlier, I don't know if it was, Mufasa or Kev, that, these kind of grievances should be sanctioned because of the human rights that are being violated through this. I mean, and then, the fact that we have so many people in jail that are either innocent or nonviolent crimes. But then we see the people that wear badges and uniforms, they're committing these atrocities, yet, nothing's happening to them. And these are the people that dictate policies and things of that nature. So, I even think about, our political leaders, like H. Brad Brown. What's some other guy's name that was out of Philly, the journalist, the Black Panther?
Mumia Jamal.
Yeah. To think what's happened to our political leaders. So, I don't know. I don't have too much to really speak on it because it makes me upset to know that we have a complex that's being built off our taxpayer dollars that's going into kind of stuff, and then the same dollars that they're taking from you, can also be used against you in the so-called court of law, and even trying to seek your justice. Like the caller was saying previously, that he was lucky enough not to go to prison, but they could just lock you up just because, and you could be sitting there for years at a time until, your case gets heard before a judge, and you have to, you could be 100% innocent. Yet you're dealing with all this inhumanity during the process.
Right, exactly. Yes, indeed. Appreciate you calling. Yes, indeed.
You mess around and actually catch a case just sitting there minding your own business, defending yourself.
Right. Exactly. Yep. Yes,
sir,
indeed.
Thank
and
you, my brother.
Right on. Yeah, and it was definitely designed that way. You sure right. So,
thanks, caller.
Yeah, appreciate it, caller. We gonna grab another caller. Let's go.
All right. Let's see. Area code 864-340. Oh, I'm sorry. 864-340. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Peace and power. I just wanted to call in and speak on the subject matter. This is your brother, Equine.
Yes, indeed.
All
peace,
right,
call.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. It's a great conversation and one that needs to be had. And I think at the floor of it, of the discussion, is basically saying we already know that we're still dealing with slave conditions, right? We already know that these conditions haven't been amended. Where now us as a black people, us as those same, you know, we're the descendants of those ancestors that have been mistreated. And, you know, again, give salute and shout out to the Honorable Khaled Abdul Muhammad, because he was one of the strong vocal presences that we had for speaking out against things like this. You know, and that, definitely that brother didn't mind speaking his mind in a very warrior-like manner, but very scholarly as
well.
Sir. You know,
yes,
and
sir.
He always talked about this system, even current day. And if anything, if we fast forward to where we are now, looking at the music, looking at the nature of our culture, it has definitely diminished. You know, we don't have strong voices like that, where you might have had the mingling of hip-hop and going back again to hip-hop. Hip-hop is the core of a lot of this, because now they're talking about promoting the drugs, promoting violence, promoting gang violence, promoting all this stuff via, you know, your radio. Or, you know, I can be riding down the radio and I can learn how to flip a brick. And it's not by coincidence. It is all by design. And at the end of the day, you know, when you look at the school to prison pipeline, this is a thing that exists 100%. When you're talking about not only that, there was a special called, or it's out on PBS, called Slavery by Another Name. And in that, we have where our people are basically being treated the same in the same manner as our slave ancestors were, right? And
right.
That has always been the thing that profited America. You know, we have to be honest with ourselves. This is how America got its claim to fame and its greatness of who it is. It's by taking a whole group of people and basically wronging them, saying that they're wrong, even though they aren't wrong, right? So I think being in jail is basically the end result, or one of the end results, and a lot of times it's death. Right, and it's a thing that we have to stop feeding into as a people. Stop allowing our children to be subjugated to this type of behavior. Well, I'm popping lean,
right.
Or I'm doing, you know, because at the end of the day, you're only just putting a piece of meat around your child's neck and sending them out into a jungle of the wild. And at the end of the day, they're probably going to get attacked by the lion. So the same enemy, the same oppressor, is man in the jails as it always has been, you know, and doing what it has always been doing. So we have to stop falling victim into this thing that is going to put us in jail. But in a lot of cases, I think a lot of you guys that spoke about that earlier, you know, we don't have any other choice but to get out there and get in the game, or but to get out there and sell dope. So this is a conversation that needs to be had, but also employed in the way that we approach it via our culture. So we need to start singing songs and feeding more into the positive things that would kind of keep us out of jail, and actually look at rehabilitating ourselves and helping our brothers and sisters rehabilitate themselves.
Yes, indeed. Great caller. Thank you. And he brought some solutions at the end. Appreciate your call. Yes. So he made me, when he was talking, he brought up, you know, to kind of spark some things in my mind. When you talk about our culture, and I think I mentioned this before, because it seemed like for me, well, growing up, it seemed like that, you know, prison or jail was like a rite of passage, right? And I think I mentioned this before, you know, seeing uncles go to jail, you know, family members, friends, whoever, go to prison, and it's like, what is going on in jail that everybody's going? You know what I'm saying? Kind of subconsciously. So subconsciously, I think a lot of our young people, you know, jail is like a rites of passage, which, you know, it should not be, of course. And then when I look at, you know, the caller mentioned rappers, when I look at rappers, you'd be hard pressed to name a rapper who hasn't had a run in with the law or been in prison. Especially these young guys. Name one of these young top rappers today who has not had a run in with the law or been in prison. You talk about you can go from Kodak Black to Offset to whoever. You know, a lot of these guys.
T.I.
T.I., like Jeezy, a lot of these guys, Gucci Mane, a lot of these guys have been to prison. So guess what? A lot of our young men want to be what? Rappers. So they feel like prison or jail is just part of what a rapper does. You see what I'm saying? So that mentality and that part of prison, you know, being a rites of passage, or that's where you get your stripes at, where you become a man, that stuff has to end in our culture, right? That stuff has to end. And I think a lot of ways, like the caller said, we're going to have to figure out if the system doesn't, we're going to have to figure out how do we rehabilitate our cousins when they come home from prisons? How do we rehabilitate our uncles when they come home from prisons? How do we rehabilitate our dads when they come home from prison? What type of, you know, community action can we do outside of the system to kind of help our family members, brothers, sisters, aunties, whoever that goes into the system? How do we as a community help them readjust, you know, and get back into society? We mentioned a few things like the Moore Science Temple, you know, the Nation of Islam does a lot of things with brothers. Even some, you know, some Christian organizations may help brothers, but I think we need a comprehensive plan that can apply to anyone when they come home to help them kind of readjust to society. You know, but, yeah, that was a great call also. Let's try to get a few more calls in. We're in the last 20 minutes. This is Collective Minds. I'm Cosmic Care with Queen Rigel and our brother Mufasa. Let's, you know, try to get a few more calls in before we wrap it up.
Okay, area code 314-833. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Oh, you just listening.
Yes, I have a comment.
Okay, thanks for calling in, Paul.
Thank you, Carla.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yes, loud and clear.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay,
we can
hear
you.
I just was calling in to say earlier the host that was talking earlier about the system, which made very good points. Nothing, but he made very good point on how the system was set up to slave our black brothers in, which is true, and a good point on, because a lot of them, like he said, really have not committed those crimes. And if so, you still need to be treated as human. You don't just take them in there and dog them out, you know. And all those are valid good points that he made. And I was wanting to say that even with that being said, like my nephew was in prison for a large amount of years. So he just went back to prison, and he said he didn't want to go back. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure whatever he encountered while he was in there, the 10 to 9 years he was there, was very bad. But I'm trying to find out what be on their mind to make them want to go back, and I'm thinking, like the host said earlier, it's something that draws them back because of this, that kind of bad. What would draw you back in there?
Yeah.
Right. If I may call.
It's just.
Yeah.
And I understand because I remember at one point I would say, "Oh, when they did it, you know, that's on them." But I understand what he said earlier. They human. You don't just go in there and just put them in like they a dog or something and just treat them, you know. So I understand that was what I wanted to say earlier that. He made good, valid points. That's what I wanted to say.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate you, Carla.
Right.
And, real quick. Go ahead. Go ahead, my brother.
Oh, you can go ahead, brother. I will.
No, I was just going to say, as far as answering that question on what would make them want to go back, and I don't think they consciously want to go back, because I think anybody consciously would say, you know, I don't want to go to prison or I don't want to go back. But I think subconsciously something is drawing them there, you know, through their behavior and through them trying to create a better life for themselves in a lot of cases. You know, I wouldn't say all cases, but I think in a lot of cases it's just circumstances and things that draw them back to that particular behavior that leads them to go back to prison. But, you know, I don't think they consciously want to go back, you know. So I would just say that. But go ahead, my brother.
And I add real quick to that that in some situations you also have where people get used to a program set that they get accustomed to in while they're incarcerated. Like having people, you hear people say incarcerated mind. You get used to a certain set of ways of doing things, you know, getting up at a certain time.
Right.
Yeah. Getting up at a certain time. Not being sociable. You get used to a certain program until you get out on the street, you all off. You all wired differently. Some people can't adjust to coming back home. So yeah, they run back to a situation that they used to, even though it's dysfunctional. But they get used to that setup. They used to that programming in that system.
That's right. Yep. Great point. Great point. Let's try to get a few couple more calls in before we wrap it up. We're down to the last half hour. Let's go, Queen.
Area code 319-572. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment? Area code 319-572. Caller, you on with Collective Minds Radio.
Hear me?
Okay, we hear you now. Thanks for calling in, caller. Make it plain.
Okay. Now, I'm just going to start by saying I spent 6 years in the juvenile system, three of those total of in isolation.
Hmm.
And at the last place I was at, if I got put out of there, I would have been sent to Eldora, which was a maximum state penitentiary for children, for juveniles, male juveniles. And I had to make some choices. Do I keep acting a fool? Do I make a choice to keep myself out? And I made a couple bad choices. I almost had to do prison time. I got lucky I didn't have to. But
that's right.
And as far as their situation is in that prison, from my understanding, they've been in there rioting and tearing up the place anyway. And who's to say that the flooding isn't from the inmates flooding their toilets, and in order to stop the inmates from doing that, you got to shut off water. And they're taking away the trade. Huh?
Yeah. I was going to say, Carl, that is true. In this particular situation, though, these inmates were, even the unit that they was put into, because they was put in a certain unit, that you would have had mold, black mold, you know, that's not good for you to be breathing in. The water that they used to drink out of out their sinks, it was so brown it looked like teeth. You had paint that was chipping off the walls, holes in the floor, wires that was hanging out. So this situation went above and beyond, you know, some inmates that are misbehaving and clogging their toilet, flooding it, because that does happen.
Well, you know what that sounds to me? It sounds like to me they got a good program to learn the building trades.
Right.
Shoot, but back in the early days, the prisoners had to build their own prisons.
Yeah, I know they definitely came.
If I remember right, Angola and Mississippi, they grow their own food. So,
Yeah, but we don't want to mix that up.
That's all I'm
going to
say.
you know, the situation that we're talking about tonight, this is the one that where the people who run the prisons have definitely neglected their jobs and their duties of housing the inmates. You know, like I said earlier, there are some programs, some prisons that know what they're doing, but these ones don't.
Throw the owner in there. Throw the owners in there. Let them live like that for a while.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Right on, caller.
Right on, brother.
We appreciate it. Yes,
but sound like me? Like me?
Yep. Yes, indeed. So, yeah, you want to? We got time for another one more call.
Okay, this has to be the last caller. Area code 314-381. Caller, you are on with Collective Minds Radio.
Now, I was holding on about 10 minutes before the show starts. Y'all racist.
He said we racist.
You are.
We don't know what
that is. And here's this thing about this prison. The last man hit it right. These prisoners, and Kevin, I grew up in the St. Louis area. You did too, right? Why come I ain't in prison?
Now you talking about individuals. Let's talk about, but look at how many people
do
go to prison.
A bunch of individuals make up a group.
Exactly.
Why come
so
I didn't go to prison?
People,
I'm just as black as Wesley Snipes. Hey,
exactly,
another thing. And we're talking about Mississippi. A lot of these detainees in Mississippi is illegals. They shouldn't be in the damn country anyway. So you mean to tell me we're supposed to treat them nice? Mississippi is 38% black. Those black populations are already having enough problems. They don't want to be besieged with taxes to improve conditions to luxury style in these prisons down there. 18 counties on either side of the Mississippi River in Mississippi that's predominantly in the 70 percentile black. The commissioner of prisons, Felicia Hall, she's a black female. Many of the directors in Mississippi prison. I mean, look at the large population of blacks in Mississippi. They had the largest population in the state in the country. They are black. Black people don't want to be spending. Black people don't. Well, they do.
Okay.
Blacks don't want to be spending unnecessary money in unnecessary areas. How you going to complain about the education? How you going to complain about the health? And blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, we want to spend a lot of money taking care of these folks who don't commit crimes, help set people back in the commission of their crimes. Now you want these very same people to come out of their pocket and spend more money for these idiots that's in prison. Now, yes, it might be some there there might be some there that shouldn't be there. But these illegals and detainees, which rank about 4,500 per 100,000, where blacks is about 1,500 per 100,000, they don't need to be given a special privilege. What the heck?
No. We're not talking about special privilege, caller. See, that's where you're incorrect. We're talking about humane conditions. We're not talking about luxury. We're talking about basic necessities, running water, plumbing systems fixed. We're talking about cleaning up the mold. We're talking about regular.
You remember Period I Go? You remember Period I Go?
Yes,
you remember
Period
I Go? You ever
great,
get on the elevator in Period I Go?
I can't recall I have. I don't believe so.
When you got on the elevators in Pier Ibo, somebody had either peed or maybe defecated in the elevator.
Right.
They was throwing, lighting up the trash chutes. You know, people on the upper floor had a trash chute so they could.
Look, check this out. Let's talk about before that happened. When they first built Pier Ibo, they kept up the maintenance. They took out the trash regularly. It wasn't
I'm using that as the people who are in there that's causing these problems. They should let them work details and let them paint the walls, scrape the mold off the walls, clean the toilets. You know, in public schools there
that.
In St. Louis, and I know if a person, some of the kids would take napkins and put them over the urinal so they'll stop up and run over on the floor.
Right, you're talking about a few isolated incidents. We're talking about an entire prison system that
all
has,
right,
is,
okay, I give you that. Hang on, you just give me 2 minutes. Hang on. But if when you have a number of people who does these things are all of a sudden put in confinement for doing those things, well, now you got a whole bunch of them that know how to do that and are doing it to cause these problems that they want to get on camera. I say no. And if you don't like American prison, let's take you over to Nigeria or Ghana or better yet, Iran. Why don't we contract with those companies? Let's contract with African countries. Nigeria to take these prisoners and house them and see how they like that.
But we're not over there. But we're not over there. We supposed.
Oh, we can make
American,
some contracts.
Shouldn't we
can make some contracts.
If we're American, we're a quote unquote free country. We're a Western country. Shouldn't
no,
we be setting
the that's
standard?
The state of Mississippi.
About, we're not talking about.
You're talking about the state of Mississippi.
But it's still a part of the United States.
Regardless,
and Mississippi is not the only prison system that
well,
has had
what,
issues.
We, that's what you're talking
about,
Alabama, on topic.
Louisiana,
your topic
and, we're talking about
your
a
topic,
lot of
and I'm in Louisiana. As a matter of fact,
Rikers
I just got
Island
a concealed.
New York.
Hang
Rikers
on for a second. Hang on for a second. I'm in Louisiana,
topic.
And you know what came in the mail here last week? My concealed carry license. And, man, they gave me a beautiful-looking picture on there. I look at that all the time. But here's the thing, Kevin. That is the state of Mississippi, which is 38% black. Black people do not want to be taxed to take care of these criminals. They don't want to be overburdened taxed.
True.
You're saying that it's not 38% black? 37.67% black.
People, I don't think the people are concerned about the tax dollars taking care of these people. We're talking about basic facilities that need to be dealt with. Like, this is not something extra. This is something that should be taken care of per the, you know,
that
the
is
system,
the
right?
State of Mississippi. It's not the federal government. Only thing
but,
the federal government is involved
right,
in is utilization of the utilization of the facilities in Mississippi to hold illegal aliens who have committed all kind of crimes. Look at the pictures of some of these characters. They look like they fell out of a printing press, a piece of paper that was discarded. They got so much difference, this, that, and another tattooed on them. Some of them look horrible.
Right, but,
you ain't supposed to treat these people nice. Walk off into China
no,
where you're
not
supposed to do.
No.
I tell
you're
you what,
about
you think about treating nice, walk off into my house where you're not supposed to be, or your house.
No, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. So you telling me, like, you know me, if I go to prison, let's say, because I got $20,000 in child support I can't pay, I should have
is that,
to deal
is
with
that
these.
Now?
This is I didn't,
is commit, that now?
I didn't commit a violent crime. No, I'm just saying hypothetically. I'm just
well,
saying
well,
there
Kevin,
are people
Kevin, why you
want
me to
prison?
Take care of your kids, man? I didn't help you make them kids. When you made
no,
them
I'm
kids,
saying,
you didn't
no.
tell nobody. You didn't share that information with nobody. You went and done that on your own. And enjoy
it. So I deserve to drink brown water. Is that what you're saying? And breathe mold.
I don't know why the water is brown, Kevin. Maybe they're beating on
this
the pipes.
Is what
the
I'm
pipes
saying.
Contain a lot of. Wait a minute. Maybe they're beating on the pipes, and the pipes contain a lot of calcium, and it's loosening it up, and therefore getting
you
in the water stream.
Maybe. See, now you're getting into hypothetical. Well, you saying maybe? We don't know if that's the case. We just have. To
we don't even know
happening.
If it's true.
Based on the pictures and the reports that have been circulating, we can make.
And you know who's been circulating those pictures, don't you? You got anti-hard immigration groups because you have an overabundant number of illegals being held in Mississippi prison, just like when they had the raid on the chicken processing plant.
No, sir, we're down to the last 2 minutes, but real quick, we're not talking about the from the research I've done, none of the articles mention immigration when it comes to these state prisons in Mississippi. They're talking about conditions.
I tell you what I'll do. I'll send you an article. And next
Please.
Week report on it that, yeah, you're right.
I will read the article, sir. I appreciate it. But we down to the last minute. We got to let
okay.
Roger wrap it up.
Yes. Thanks, everybody for calling in.
We ain't all
got to
think alike.
But
we all got to think alike.
You got to think.
Emotional
right.
comments. I appreciate you guys. Tune in with us next week, please, and every other week after that, each and every Sunday. Peace.
Peace.
Stand on your square, we on the earn, we about to earn out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's old or a new point, call in with your viewpoint and add